Blog Talk Radio.
So I say expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it, encouragement's on your radio. So come and listen in. Covenant Cafe, come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians, listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we are bringing you another episode of the Covenant Cafe. First and foremost, I'd like to thank you guys for tuning in, taking your time out on your Sunday evening, and listening to our show. We do regret to say that our special guest, due to unforeseen circumstances, will not be with us today. But however, he will be with us in the very near future. But we still have a very good show planned for you today.
We do.
And we will open up with our same thing as we always do with our verse for today. And Lace will let us hear that.
All right, so going into it, I also want to put out my apologies, too, that our special guest will not be able to make it due to unforeseen emergencies that popped up, but we still give love to the Mr. Dedrick Haddon, who will be in the near future here. Now, with that being said, let's go into the scripture. So the scripture that the Lord put on my heart is actually something that my pastor was actually teaching last week and touching base, and I feel like it was so powerful that the Lord told me to say it today. So we're going to start off with Hosea 4:6, which says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Now, in this particular passage, we have the prophet Hosea who is speaking to the people. And the thing that's really, really strong about this, because this touch bases all, even in common society. If you ever had a conversation with me, I think you would notice that I often say that my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge. Now, the thing is, you can look at this in so many texts. We can look at this in the biblical text, or we can look at this in the modern day time. In the modern day time, when I'm often saying it, I'm often talking about how there are a lot of opportunities in life that nobody goes after because they lack knowledge. Or there are a lot of things happening, like there are a lot of opportunities for, let's say, money, or let's say food, or just basic survival skills. Or even it's the ignorance of the mind that's causing them to destroy themselves because they're leaning on their own knowledge. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Now, based off this text, we're talking about these people are really dying because they lack the knowledge, and the knowledge comes from God. So where do you get this knowledge that Hosea is talking about? Well, if you go to Proverbs 1:7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise this wisdom." So just keep it real now. Now, I got that out the way. The whole real thing is people are out here dying. People are out here killing themselves. People are getting lost on drugs. People are getting lost in sex. People are getting killed. People are getting murdered. Robbing banks are doing all this stuff, destroying themselves because they lack knowledge. And that knowledge they lack is from what Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord God is the beginning of all knowledge. So if you don't even grasp that concept, that the fear of the Lord, to fear God, and to fear God is respect God for being God, respecting the one who created everything, respecting him, not belittling him to some kind of friend of yours or to some kind of homie, but respecting him as God who knows all and the one that you come to in the midst of your troubles, or also just to praise him, and not just praise him because you want something, but to praise him because he's God. So because of that in this modern day time, because no one is fearing God anymore, people are destroying themselves. They have made their own knowledge respectable. Oh, I was born this way, so I'm going to be gay. No, that's not right. And, you know, no low blows, man, but this is the truth. Oh, I was born in the hood, that's all I am about, so I'm going to smoke and drink because that's what niggas do. Real talk, that's what they say, right? We finna just really dig deep on this, but that's the wrong kind of knowledge. Or, man, the white man holding me back. What? Where did you get this knowledge from? And this is where we can go even deeper. All black people are lazy. Where did you get this knowledge from? Mm. Or is the best way to be successful is if I spread my legs and sleep with people all the way to the top of the corporate ladder? Where did you get this from? And my question is really, how can you say that you are a Christian or a person of God or a man or a woman of God or somebody that reverence the Lord, and you don't care what you say, you don't care how you treat people, you do whatever it takes to get money or get to where you want to be, even if it means trampling the people that's in your way? Where is this knowledge coming from?
Uh-oh, hold on one second. We have a call on line one. Maybe they're weighing in on what you're talking about. It's about to get heated.
It is going to get heated.
Caller, line one, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
Hi, I'm actually just listening. Thank you.
Okay. Where are you calling from?
California.
Awesome. All right. Thank you for listening. Now,
anyway, go ahead.
Awesome. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You have a very interesting point. Especially with the people who, especially in our field.
And yes.
A lot of individuals sleep their way up to the top, but actually they're sleeping their way to the bottom.
Exactly. And that's what the whole text is saying. Your knowledge is killing you because your knowledge isn't the fear of the Lord. And, you know, I'm going to go ahead and keep it real. How can you do, and you know, we work in the music industry, so I'm not going to call anybody out because I know a couple of these brothers that's actually, you know, getting awards and stuff. But how can you do a song that's talking about murdering, killing, sex, blah, 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 and then get on stage and say, I'd like to thank God, you know, he told me to do this. So you're telling me the same God who told me to do gospel music is the same God telling you to do the song about how you got money from selling drugs? Mm. Now, mind you, look how ignorant this is. It's so ignorant because selling drugs, I hear a lot of people say, you know, it's from the earth, man. God put this here for me and you. Everybody's seen Friday. But the truth is, brother, you slanging death to give dope to somebody? No, that's death because you wouldn't do it yourself. So why would you? That's hate. Because even the word says, love your brother as you love yourself. So if you wouldn't do drugs, why would you give drugs to another man?
Wow.
This is the realness of it. And the reason why we are destroying ourselves and destroying other people is because we lack that knowledge. And that knowledge, which is the beginning, is the fear of the Lord. So we don't fear God because God created us in his image. So if God created us in his image, therefore I should love you because I love you as I love unto God. So if I love you until I love God, I'm not going to want to hurt you because I love God that much. But no, I don't fear God. So ain't nothing for me to rob you. Ain't nothing for me to talk about you behind your back. Ain't nothing for me to pull the rug from under you so I can get more than you and do better than you and look better than you. Ain't nothing for me to destroy my body by sleeping with all these people, put myself in jeopardy of AIDS, of STD, all kind of STDs. Not only that, just to be, I'm not even special no more because I'm sleeping with all these people. All I'm saying is, sum up everything.
Mm.
We destroy ourselves because we lack knowledge. And that knowledge, and the only way to get that knowledge to keep us from destroying ourselves is to fear the Lord, to respect the Lord, to seek Him, seek out His Word, to spend time with Him, to pray, to meditate. Going to church on Sunday ain't enough. The Word says, see, He said, you got to meditate in the Word night and day. If you say night and day, that's at least 2 times, 7 days a week. At least 2 times a day for 7 days. At least that's night and day. Now, if you want to really get into the specifics of what He's saying daily and nightly, you know, that's a whole nother level. And we've fallen short. And we have to start seeking His knowledge so we can stop killing ourselves, whether it be due to depression or whether it be due to just, you know, the physical of it, mental or physical or even spiritual death. We got to cut it out, and we got to start seeking God. So that's what the Lord has placed on my heart to open up with today. That's the realness of it.
Twice, at least twice a day, 7 days a week.
That's a minimum. Wake up and meditate. Before you go to bed, meditate, pray. That's a minimum. That's not even too much to ask, to be honest.
Because you eat at least twice a day, right?
Some people more.
Interesting. Now, question.
Okay.
In regards to knowledge and lack thereof.
Okay.
That actually could lead into a lot of arenas.
Yeah, it can.
For those who, everyone knows about drugs.
Okay.
Okay, everyone knows about drugs because it's highly talked about on all levels, even in elementary school.
Right.
So therefore, in that arena, there's no lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
No lack of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the arena of the word, there is a lack of knowledge because every person in church
mm-hmm.
take in it a whole different way,
right.
A whole different meaning in order to fit them and their issues.
Matter of fact, before you even carry on, let me go something deeper in that about, you know, what you, about that knowledge thing you're touching bases on. Because a lot of people say, like, I'm doing this to help my family. This is their knowledge. You know, I'm going to do it with the best I can with the best I have. I'm going to do it for the family. Because I was in that position too. And this is how you clear up, you know, this confusion. The Bible says that the heart desperately wants to do wicked things. The heart is wicked. It's a wicked thing, right? Now, let me tell you, this is how you can prove the heart. This is how I can prove the heart is wicked. I can give you a good scenario. Now, somebody sells drugs, right? Now, because I want to sell drugs. Man, my family hurting. My heart is telling me I need to go ahead and sell drugs to help my family. And once I get everybody good, it's going to be all right. Now, this is what my heart's telling me. Now, mind you, if my heart's telling me I need to sell drugs because that's the only way I can get quick money to help my family. Now, mind you, this is how you know the heart is wicked, because the heart is not thinking about nobody else. Because to sell drugs, one, it puts my life in jeopardy. It puts my life in jeopardy from all kind of issues as far as you can be beefing with other people in the neighborhood, other dealers, even other fiends. Fiends will kill you for a raw, real talk. Police officers, they'll kill you or arrest you. You got people that's hating on you. You got the females that's a lot to you. Like, these are the things that you deal with, and it's putting your life in jeopardy. That's one side of it. What kind of knowledge is that? Two, the other side of it is you selling death. You're killing people to save your family. That is not love. That is not of God. So this lets you know that your knowledge is off. Somewhere, your knowledge is wrong. And that's the thing about it. So, you know, like, a lot of people like to separate it. Like, okay, biblical knowledge. Or, yeah, biblical knowledge, you got that, cool, whatever, whatever. But we're dealing with the real world. Biblical knowledge is the real world. I've heard you say it often. Basic instructions before leaving earth.
Exactly.
The scriptures, they're not just teaching you, because it's history. It's not just teaching you about your history. History repeats itself. So how do we prepare for the future? By reading about the history. This is what, when this, that, and the third happened, this is what can happen. So there's nothing new under the sun. So the Bible shows us the same way how people were trifling then, the same way how people were trying to get political power then, how people were lying then, how they were trying to sway you with all these words, it's the same thing going on today. And the only way that we can foresee this, that we can discern this, is by being in our word. The Bible says, ask God for wisdom, and he'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, how many times do you hear a person asking God for wisdom? You know, you hear them asking for this blessing and that, this, that, and the third. But how many times do you hear somebody saying, God, give me the wisdom so I can know how to handle myself in the situation that I'm in? Because you can ask God for money, and he gave you money, but if you don't have wisdom, you don't know how to spend that money. And then you'll be right back at the throne the next day asking for more money because you blew your money gambling, thinking you using your own knowledge, trying to make your money last longer. And you end up blowing your money gambling, and it didn't work the way you thought because your knowledge told you that was the right thing to do.
Your knowledge. Wow.
This is how deep it is. We cannot make it without the Holy Spirit, without God in our lives. We can't make it. And the thing about it is a lot of times we get so caught up in thinking that we lean on our own understanding. It causes us to just stick to ourselves, stick to our knowledge, and we keep going. And after a while, you keep pulling away from God for so long, he'll leave you to yourself. And he will let you see that you can't do this without him. So it's like, I'm the type of person, I'm like, you ain't even got to tell me twice. You know, like, once you tell me, I don't even want to find out how bad it can be on the other side. Let's nip this in the bud now. So, you know, whoever I'm speaking to right now, while you have the chance, clean it up.
Clean it up, man. That's what we say. Just clean it up.
Clean it up.
That's all you got to do is clean it up. Get your ass together. And if you ain't got the knowledge, man, get it.
And it starts with the fear of the Lord. That's where it starts.
It's very easy. You can get a Bible anywhere. You go to Walmart. You go to your local Christian bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
Barnes & Noble. Books a Million. You even go to the library. If you ain't got no money. That's what I said. If you ain't got no money... You can go to the library for free. You can get your library card for free. You can check out a Bible. Simple as that. So there's no excuses. And if you ain't got transportation, I know you got a phone.
Mm.
You can go on your phone. Everybody got these apps on their phone, and you can look it up. The app, download the Bible on your phone for free. You know what I mean? Because he already paid the cost.
Yeah, sure.
He already paid the cost, and you get yours for free. Because if somebody was offering a flat screen TV for free, everybody be in line, right?
Yeah. I'd probably be there, too. Let me stop.
You
said
what?
I said, I'd probably be there, too.
Hey, if they was offering a flat screen TV, there's not one person I know that won't be in that line. And if you can already have 3 or 4 in your house, but if it's a free one, why not stand in that line?
Because you know we're going to use our own knowledge and be like, you know, I can sell this.
Exactly. So somebody gonna buy it.
Yeah, somebody will buy it.
You got it for free. Hey, you know what, ladies and gentlemen? We have an interesting current event. Now, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
There's some interesting things going on.
Yeah, it is.
Can you inform us of what's going on?
All right. For starters, I really want to. This was dear to my heart because I didn't realize, you know, how bad things were going in now times. A Texas mom, she gets 99 years for gluing her toddler to the wall and beating her. So the thing is, a Texas mother, she super glued her 2-year-old daughter's hands to the wall and beat her over potty training problems. She was sentenced to 99 years Friday in the Dallas County Felony Records Department District Court. The crazy thing is this 23-year-old mom She's eligible for parole after 30 years. She pleaded guilty. The thing about it is the district attorney said she is pure evil and she deserves it, quote unquote, quote in, quote out. And it kind of angered me a little bit because it's like as a parent, you know, when do you see that this is too much? You know, this woman, I understand she's young. She's around my age. She's 23 years old. She has multiple kids in the house, and she wants to discipline them. But this lady has been known for that. So this is my question to you, Lamont, before we even dig deeper in the rest of the events. Do you think 99 years is too harsh? Because that's what the argument is now, that 99 years is too much. Now, mind you, she's had complaints from, you know, child services places, but they can never arrest her because of abuse. Now, she beat this child. She glued the child hands to the wall, and this is over potty training issues. Two-year-old baby. Glued him to the wall and beat him, like kick, punch. The baby has bruises all on her head, kicked him in the groin. She's damaged. Hands super glued to a strong cohesion.
And
so,
you want me to keep it real?
I want you to, yeah, that's what we're doing tonight. Do you think 99 years is harsh?
And we try and figure out is, all right, okay, I'm going to take it to two different things here.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to go, you know what? All right. Everybody was okay. I shouldn't say everybody, but there was a lot of people okay. I know this story is old. With sending Michael Vick to jail for a couple of years for killing some dogs.
Mm.
People were cool with that. People, it's going to be a lot of broken language right now. People were cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was fired. They said, hey, that is not enough. This man has been persecuted for that event. Okay? I'm not saying, hey, what Michael Vick was doing was right. But however, they were animals. So, fast forward. You have someone that's mistreating a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And we're complaining about the time and the treatment they're receiving for the mistreatment of an infant.
Mm.
So you're trying to tell me that an infant is less important than a dog. Is that what you're telling me?
Mm.
Oh, that is harsh. 99, that is too. What I mean, the thing is, wait, the child died? Did I miss that?
Now the child's in the hospital currently.
Permanently.
Currently, not permanently. I hope. I hope not permanently.
Okay, currently, this is still not gonna change my thing here. Currently, this child is in the hospital. He was previously beaten and bruised. Now this guy, this kid, has been glued to the wall and beat. And that, to me, I would put charge him as done with attempted murder.
Mm.
Personally, because you gluing this kid, I mean, like, what's to say that, man, this is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what's to say that this person won't do it again?
Yeah, exactly. I feel you.
Okay.
I feel you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going back in the past again.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Plexico Burris. Everybody familiar with this guy?
Mm-hmm.
He got 2 years in jail for shooting himself in a leg. Everybody was all, you know, I mean, like, really, it's like you have these situations. You have the Trayvon Martin situation. This
mm-hmm.
guy was killed. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
People had to fight tooth and nail to get this guy behind bars that killed this kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, to this story. this guy, okay, it had a kid glued to the wall. What else you want? What else do you want? You want the kid to be dead before you say it's okay to charge him 9 years?
Mm.
I think they're pretty grateful that they gave him 99 years.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, that's just cool. I mean, people, I think you have to set an example. Just the way you set an example or a scapegoat for anything political that you want.
Mm.
Now, this is time for you to set the scapegoat for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You stand the bar, okay, you mistreat these kids, this is what you're going to get. We're going to throw the book at you.
Mm.
Plus a couple of more.
Mm.
To send the message that we are not playing with people who are abusing these kids.
Mm.
That has no choice. No kid has ever asked to be here.
Mm.
I haven't met one kid on this planet that said, hey, man, I asked to be here. The kid didn't ask to be here. So you're going to take it upon yourself to beat the child, to cover up, beat the child, get away with it, beat the child some more, get away with it, and then glue the kid's hands to the wall and beat him, not in the hospital, an infant. They cannot defend himself.
Mm.
What is wrong with this picture?
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, we all in about this presidential debate.
Mm-hmm.
Who should do this? Who should do that? But we're not all in on some stuff that really, really, I mean, not to say that don't matter, but I mean, like, what matters most, a debate or a child?
Mm.
We need to learn how to shift our focus to the important issues that need to be taken care of.
Right,
right. I mean, like, these kids are precious. And you mean to tell me you're going to glue the child? How about we do this? How about we glue your hands to the wall for 9 years? How about that? And we ain't going to even use Elmer's glue. We're going to use crazy glue. Where you can't get away.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I mean, just think about it. If we had that mold, eye for an eye.
Mm.
Okay. Now, if we went about in society, if you do this, it's the same thing we're going to do to you. Whatever you just did, we're going to take that same thing and we're going to do it to you.
Mm.
So now, if you beat this kid and you glued his hands to the wall, we're going to do the same thing to you.
Mm.
But yet, what we're going to do is glue your hands to the wall and go to the harshest jail in the country and go get Big Bubba out of there and let him handle his way. I don't know. I can't tell you what he going to do.
Let's move on.
Well, I'm just saying, it's very upsetting. I mean, like,
yeah.
And then you have people arguing about how much time this guy should get and whether it's too much. It wasn't too much for him to beat that child, was it?
Lady. It's a lady.
I mean, I'm saying, like, her. It wasn't too much for her to beat the child, right?
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, man. That is my rant for the day.
Well, you got it out your system.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
It's fine.
I'm not even sorry for that one.
Yeah, you're not. It's fine, though. I provoked it. Moving on in current events. In Martania's... Big Bubba's not in this current event, but Martania's president, he has the France for treatment after shooting. Now, I love to keep you guys in current events that's going on around the world. So in this Martania, which is located in the West African area, just to give y'all a geographical landscape of where we at, the president was shot in a friendly, quote-unquote friendly firing as they were going from one place to another. But this is the issue. This is the issue behind it. President, he gave a okay speech, like, I'm okay, everything's good, he's going to the hospital to get his minor surgery, blah, blah, blah. And he just, swept it under the rug. But the thing is, witnesses say, and I quote, but witnesses said that they believe that the incident was an assassination attempt because unknown armed men shot their guns at the president and ran away, according to the independent Mauritania news agency. The witnesses said the armed men directly targeted the president as he was returning from his farm in, I'm going to screw his name up, in Charia, Providence, near the capital of Mauritania, news reported. So, you know, I really wanted to share to you about how, you know, there's a lot going on in the world. Like, assassinations is still going on. People getting killed, still going on. Political issues are still going on. So as we are really caught up in what's going on over here in America, you know, I encourage that we expand our minds to know how things are shifting. So just expand your knowledge, get to know what's going on. And with that being said, on a note, I really want to take you in deeper on how things are going so deep in other places to where they're not paying attention to us like we think. Because, you know, a lot of times being in America, we become institutionalized believing that we are the center of attention. Everything is about America. The whole world bows down to the United States of America, which is not true. So the Lord had showed me this article to share with you guys to get you out of yourself for at least 2-3 minutes. Baghdad places little faith in U.S. election. So a guy from here, of course, America, he interviews somebody from Iraq in the Iraqi media. And he asks the man, he says, what are you guys saying about the U.S. election? The man pauses, thinks how best to answer, and he says, and I quote, man, the situation is so bad now, we only pay attention to staying alive. He laughs. So the crazy thing is, as Iraqi journalists, they work several international news organizations. It tells that they deal with car bombings, suicide missions, explosions on a day-to-day basis. The article actually states, it says, although violence in Iraq is slowing down significantly since 2006 and 2007, bombings, kidnappings, and assassinations are a part of everyday life across the country. The Iraq Body Count database estimates that 7 people have been killed every single day by suicide and car bomb attacks this year. The bomb that Ms. Latham killed at least 7 people. Oh, I skipped over something that I meant to share with you guys. Latham, the guy who was interviewed, he had an interview with, you know, one of our people. And as he was coming to the interview, he gets in the car. Everything is cool. Gets out the car. The car blows up. And it kills 7 people, right?
Wow.
And the thing about it is, Latham says, he says, if I had been late by a couple of minutes, I would not be at this interview today, laughing it off. So it's like, the thing is, at 6:30 a.m. the following morning, I met more with confusion than humor when I asked the same thing to a group of day laborers in the rundown neighborhood of Vatsaline. We only watch football, says one man. We don't care about elections. In fact, only one worker in a group of 40 or so standing around even knew that there was an election going on in the United States. So I'm sharing this article with you guys to let you know that we are not the best thing smoking all the time. Like, we pay so much attention to ourselves, and even so, we over here in America, and we're looking at our situation, and we're pissed that we don't have this, we don't have that, or all this and that is going on, you know, true enough. But when you got somebody who's on a day-to-day basis, they can laugh at the fact that they would have been dead because people are dying left and right. On average, 7 people a day. Now, it just says suicide bombings. That's just that. Then we ain't even throwing the equation of just murder and or homicides. We just talking about suicide bombings. 7 people die from that every day. So it's like, you know, once again, I'm in my encouraging mode. I'm encouraging that we become thankful, that we are thankful that, 'cause I know I went to church today and I ain't getting no kind of suicide bombings on my car, nor did anybody throw a rock at me at the minimum. You know what I mean? And we have so much to be thankful for, yet we forget. And we're so caught up in what's going on here, and if we don't fix this, it's the end of the world. Man, you got people on the other side of the world who like, shoot, man, I just went to the store, and next thing I know, 7 people gunned me down.
If it had not been for the Lord, I'd be dead.
Wow. You know what? That is very interesting. Like, that stuff that we really take for granted, that we walk to the store without, I mean, yeah, some areas are bad, you know, but we don't really have the problems of worrying about whether somebody's going to blow up the store or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might actually have the issue of worrying about whether you're going to get mugged. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't have to worry about the state. I mean, like, you don't have to worry about somebody blowing you up.
True.
You don't. You don't have to worry about mortar shells landing in your house, your apartment. You don't have to worry about that. And that's actually a blessing.
Yes.
Because, I mean, just think, if you had to worry about every time you go to Walmart, someone say, man, I need, you tell yourself, I need to go get some milk. They be like, man, nah, they be fighting out there today, man.
Yeah.
It blows you. I mean, like, with gunshots, there's a chance for you to be able to hear and duck.
Yeah.
And hide. You know what I mean? You have a chance to, oh, man. But an explosion is what it is, an explosion. You don't have a chance to get away from that.
Mm. Could you imagine that? Like, say you at my house, and we look out, and you're like, man, I want to go to the movies, whatever. And I'm like, oh, hold on. I look out the window. Oh, nah, man, bro, out there with that bomb again. We ain't going out tonight. Like, what? Could you imagine that?
They really thug in with like, relay launches.
Yes.
Wow. That's some interesting stuff.
And as I close with my current events today, I put something else on your mind to ponder on. I find this to be very interesting. In 6 states in this current election, they're going to have marijuana on the ballot.
Wait, hold on. We had to say this in layman's terms. They're going to have weed on the ballot? Wow.
They're going to have green. Well, there's so many names. Green, Doja, Reggie, whatever you want to call it. Hey, we ain't going to act like we don't know the stuff. So
wow.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. They're going to have marijuana.
I mean, like, really?
And listen. It's going to be on the ballot for 6 states in this election. And now this is the debate. And we've been constantly arguing this for years. I've been hearing this argument for years. Should marijuana be legal as a medicine? They're planning on. They believe that marijuana is good to use to control nausea, to increase an appetite because people are dealing with appetite issues of eating and whatnot. It's also anti-pain usage.
Yeah, and with snacks. They're gonna eat a lot of snacks and stuff. They're gonna eat healthy food. They act like they're gonna eat like, oh man, I'm hungry. I'm gonna get it out.
And listen, what's even thing about it, this is the problem. Now, I know you're going to be like, duh. The reason why it's such a debate, because they believe that some people are just going to smoke it.
What? Hey, wait, hold on. They believe what?
That some people are just going to smoke it.
But that's what they're doing now.
So this is what we're believing. If we put this on the ballot and we make it legal in certain areas, whatever, we'll have control over it. If we have control over it, people won't really buy it, you know, because it's legal. So we'll have control over it. We can ID people. Oh, you need marijuana? How old are you? Oh, you're not old enough. I'm sorry. Sure. And then they're going to get it. But at the same time, you got still people who can get it on the black market. I actually know an 8-year-old who can get it and sell it. That's how bad it is.
Well, I'm going to tell you. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Wow.
No. We feeding. So where what do you think? Should it be on the ballot?
Okay, look. Bottom line is this. It's just like prohibition and back in the day. They figured that, hey, people, you know, got all these underground shot, you know, houses, moonshine joints and stuff like that. We're going to legalize it and then make it better. Oh, mm-hmm. No, you didn't make it better, because even to this day, you have people that have shot houses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you're not going to make it better. You know, there's no justify. Only thing is, if you're saying that, should we make it legal because of medicinal purposes?
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no talking about trying to control it, because you're not. People still,
no.
Even if it's legalized, people still going to be hustling. They're going to find different ways to manipulate the marijuana to make it better than Walmart's marijuana. You know what I mean? They ain't got this at Walmart. You know what I mean? It's like, you still going to have that type of behavior.
Yes.
My thing is this. If you put it on the ballot for medicinal purposes only, that's different. Not a control factor. That is not the case.
Right.
You're not going to win that one. You know, so...
It's supposed to be, you know, for that medicine use. But, you know, side note, the way how they're promoting it is like, you know, if you do approve it, look, we take control. We get some kind of control now. So I agree with you saying. I mean, man, there's TVs in Walmart, yet there's people that's still hustling it. Still hustling TVs.
Exactly.
Bootleg CDs and movies and all. So what you think they're going to do with a plant that they can grow themselves? Understood.
That's crazy.
But it's sad, though, because you actually have, you know, cancer patients and people dealing with all kinds of things that possibly need the usage of it.
Exactly. I do agree. Yeah. I mean, if it's like that, apparently that has been proven, scientifically proven, that it works in those aspects.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? We're going to go ahead and take a break. That's very interesting. Wow. So we're going to go ahead to a break, and we're going to do this. We're going to play Al Green, Everything's Going to Be All Right. I'm not going to play Bob Marley.
Now, wait. Before you, now, hold on. Now, Bob, this is the thing about Bob Marley, though. Because I'm actually, people don't know it or not, whether you know it or not, I'm actually a Bob Marley fan, because Bob Marley was on a peace and happiness kind of thing. He really believed in God, too. The whole thing was to get to Zion. That was his whole mission. Now, he's known for his usage of marijuana, of course. Everyone knows him for that. But if you really listen to his lyrics and what he stood for, he was about peace and unity and really finding God. Because that's Rastafarians, they believe that, you know, everybody has a flaw towards their belief system that's not directly following the laws of Jesus Christ, 100%. But as their beliefs go, the whole thing is to follow, to get to God, and to reverence his holy name. And I actually, you know, I respect his music as an artist as far as what is he delivering lyrically. I just had to put that out there before everybody get on their tantrum. Like, I get high like Bob Marley. You know, you've heard the lyrics. You've heard the phrases.
Oh,
but, you know, resting his soul, the man actually seeked God. And, you know, his whole thing was about peace. And he actually was a radical towards this nonsense that's going on in the political arena. The guy was actually for positive change and elevating towards godliness.
Exactly. True, true indeed. Ladies, you heard it here first. Hey, he was going crazy around here. But however, Al Green said everything's going to be all right here on the Covenant Cafe.
Without having to wait.
One wheelchair pusher says she's seen customers blatantly step out of line in front of her and ask for a wheelchair.
Wow.
You know what? Before I go on, now that's really dirty.
Yes.
That is really dirty because for the simple fact that there are people out there who need wheelchairs, and because of these people, there may be a situation where there's not a wheelchair and you getting pushed to the front of the line because you can't wait.
Mm.
Now, many keep right on rolling until they get onto the plane. And since passengers in wheelchairs board first, this happens so often that flight attendants refer this to miracle flight, in which as many as a dozen passengers on board on wheelchairs, and then they leave on foot. As if they can, I've gotten control of my legs, now I can walk off the plane. That's
oh, my goodness.
Not only do we serve them beverages and ensure their safety, now we're healing the sick. This is what an attendant says.
Wow.
Content to let cheaters through. We respect our passengers and spokeswoman for the industry group, and we trust their integrity.
Mm.
Now, the problem here is they don't have a system where they have to prove that you are injured, you are handicapped, you have to prove that. So people are catching on to that, and they're using that to their advantage.
Mm.
And I think I would be really, really disgusted if I was standing in a long line and also somebody talking about they need a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Mm.
Yes. The negative side of a human being of me would say, hey, let me make you need a wheelchair.
Oh, my goodness.
That's something Big Bubba would say.
Hey, on a side note, I know this is so irrelevant, but it's still the same. You seen White Chicks before?
It's been some time since I've seen it.
But do you remember Bruh say, he said, once you go black, you're going to need a wheelchair?
Yeah.
All right, I was just thinking that when you said the Big Bubba thing. And I was like, hold on, I heard that before.
Now,
continue.
So, as I said, the negative side of the human being of me would say, hey, I might help you need a wheelchair. Okay. Now, check this out. This is all you conspiracy theorists. I got a story for you. The story says, UFO conspiracy film crew detained at gunpoint at legendary Area 51. Okay.
Hmm.
Now, before I go on, we have to be very careful what we say, because I don't want to get detained in my house or the pen and black on my house and flash a light in my eye and I can't remember what I'm going to say. But before I get started, what could you possibly do to get detained at gunpoint? Have you filming? I do a lot of filming myself, short films and little commercials and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a point where, there has been situations where, the set might have been shut down because you haven't had a permit to shoot in that location. You know what I mean? They're not going to hold you at gunpoint. So what is America hiding? We don't know. Let's find out.
Mm.
A BBC film crew was detained after it breached the back gate of the top secret military facility known as Area 51. While filming a new documentary about UFO conspiracy theories.
Mm.
During the incident, in the Nevada desert, a camouflage dress guard carrying an M16 told a member of the British team, guess what? We can make you disappear and your body will never be found.
Whoa.
Is that deep or not?
Mm.
Now, that's beyond not getting a shooting permit. That's crazy. Now, let me read that line again. We can make you disappear and your body will never be found. Now, in that statement alone says a whole lot of what's going on.
Yeah.
Because apparently this has happened. Apparently there are things going on that for him to say that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, what exactly happened after the guards thwarted the documentarians at the Nevada Air Force Base under its debate? It said the film crew members alleged they were forced to lie on the ground at gunpoint for hours while law enforcement decided what to do. The local sheriff was dispatched several officers to the scene, and of course, they denied this account, saying that trespassers were dealt with swiftly. Of course, they're on the same team.
Yes.
That's just like we playing football and my teammate fumbled the ball and they say, hey, what happened? I'm going to say, hey, he didn't fumble the ball. My teammate. I'm not going to be like, yo, man, yeah, he did fumble the ball and it belongs to the other team. I'm going to approach the ref and like, yo, man, no, he ain't fumbling that ball. Now, the chain of events at what's officially called the Nellis Air Force Base unfolded May 14th, but details are only now surfacing, likely to promote the hour-long special, Conspiracy Road Trip UFO, premiering on NBC's channel. Now, my thing is this. I'm not going to even go on. I'm not going to even continue to read this because I have a bad cold, so I keep stopping intermittently trying to catch my breath here. But, however, the thing is, the statements that have been made, the actions that that's being taken, is all points to something's being hidden in that area. Okay. This has been years and years and years and years upon years people have had their own theories about Area 51, that they have aliens, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. But what more proof that there's something going on there with those type of statements? Like, I can make you disappear and you not be found, you know, being held at gunpoint, and then when the other authorities say that didn't happen, okay, who are they going to listen to first, you or the authority? You know what I mean? If it's three of y'all and six other law enforcement members, they're going to listen to the law enforcement. Now, that's crazy. Now, I was going to read something else, but I just ran into something. You know, sometimes things happen, and you just say, okay, wait a minute. This is more interesting. I didn't see this earlier. Check this out. Timothy Couric, I don't know if I said your name right, straight Christian man comes out and pretends to be gay for a year.
What? Wait. A straight Christian man comes out and pretends to be gay for a year. Go ahead, tell me the story. Go ahead, continue.
Now, and it's so crazy because I didn't see this earlier, and I just came across it. So that other story that I was going to read, I'm going to kick it to the side. First of all, why would you do such a thing?
That's the best question I heard today. Why? Why
would you do such a thing before I even read the story? You know what? I'm going to go to a commercial break. I'm going to play a song because I really need to get some water because I have I have a belief that we're going to be talking about this for a good minute, and I do need to get some water. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is go to Mary Mary Walking, and then we're going to come to this interesting story about a Christian man straight pretending to be gay for a year. And I would love, if you're listening, to blow up the chat and tell me and weigh in on this one. This is going to be interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the Covenant Cafe, your host Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And you are now listening to Mary Mary Walking.
Boom! Boom.
Yeah. I got your attention.
Back to the story about a straight Christian man comes out and pretends to be gay for a year. Here's the story. Thousands of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people were the only ones celebrating National Coming Out Day on Thursday. A Christian man from Tennessee appeared on ABC News to talk about his own coming out experience. But, ladies and gentlemen, he's straight. Timothy came out to his family and friends and lived as a gay man for a year in order to experience what life is like as an LGBT person.
Hmm.
The Liberty College graduate told ABC News, you learn to be very afraid of God.
Whoa. Mm. Talk to me.
The loving thing to do is to tell my friend who is gay, hey, listen, you're an abomination and you need to repent and to go to heaven.
Wow.
I absolutely believe that lock, stock, and barrel. But 4 years ago, a lesbian acquaintance of his relayed the story of how her family rejected her when she came out to them. And Carrie was moved to take action. Wow. I feel God really kicked me in the gut. He said she was crying in my arms, and instead of being there for her, I was thinking about all the arguments to convert her. Soon, he decided to go undercover and come out as a gay man.
Hmm.
I came out to everybody, my friends, family, everyone. I just knew that I needed to understand as realistically as possible. Wow. Hmm. How the label of gay might change my life. The social experiment itself demanded all or nothing.
Hmm.
He even got a job. Okay, wait. Come on now. Listen. Listen. He even got a job in a gay cafe. I'm going to stop right there. Gay cafe?
You know what? Before we chew it up, I want you to finish the story because I know I got a lot to say right now.
Okay, he hung out at the gay. He got a job at a gay cafe, hung out in a gay bar, and joined a gay softball league, all while maintaining his inner identity as a straight Christian. The only people that knew the truth about what he was doing were his aunt, a close friend, and a gay friend who was recruited to play his boyfriend.
Hmm.
I need protection to keep me balanced and teach me the nuances of gay culture and how they flirt and to give me an excuse when guys hit on me.
Hmm.
Wow, he claims that after he came out, nearly 95% of his friends stopped talking to him. It was his mom who initially took the experiment the hardest.
Mm.
I snooped in my mother's journal one day after I came out, and she had written, this is what she wrote, I'd rather have found out from a doctor that I had a terminal cancer, than to have a gay son.
Wow.
But then she eventually came to terms with her sexuality and went from being a very conservative Christian to being an ally to the gay community.
Hmm.
He used his experience to write a book, The Cross in the Closet.
Hmm.
Some of the proceeds from what he says will donate to the LGBT homeless youth centers. What I went through is nothing compared to the experience of the average gay and lesbian. They were never able to say only 12 or 8 or 6 or more months of this before I get to be normal again. Wow.
Hmm.
So what I consider to be the most eye-opening facet of my year was really only a glimpse of how bad the closet really is.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
You may weigh in before I get on this one.
Wow. It's very thick because, you know, at first, because I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, so did he do anything gay? Was he involved in any gay activity? But you kind of cleared that. That's why I like finish the story before assumptions are birthed. You know, he said he recruited a boyfriend and just to keep him, you know, as an excuse. So he wasn't doing nothing behind scenes and everything like that. Whatever. All right, cool. It's
you know, because I'm hoping that this experience in this book that he's writing is not going to in any way commend or make it acceptable to be gay. I'm hoping that's not the outcome of this whole thing. I receive that sometimes, you know, God will put you, you know, in a position to experience certain things so you can have compassion for those people, but not to commend those people. Like, you know, I grew up in an urban community. You know, I always say that in my interviews.
Yeah.
So as you can hear through my music and as I talk, you will hear slang and this and that come on from time to time, but at the same time, I'm still educated. So I have compassion for those who lack the understanding and knowledge to get out of their situation. But at the same time, I will still bring judgment upon them as the Lord speaks through me to, like, this is not what's up. There is a better way. So I'm hoping that his experience was to say, you know, I can relate. I was there, and, you know, it's a hard thing. But we still must seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that's what I'm hoping. That's the whole experiment. Because, like, at first, while you were talking, I had a lot to say. But now I'm caught up because it's like, all right, now, what is the point of you? You're going to release a book. What is this book going to do? What are you trying to prove in this book? Because sure enough, I believe, you know, if God really brought you through this experience, then cool. But at the end of the day, everything that you did was supposed to bring the people to God's glory. It's supposed to give God the glory. And it's supposed to bring understanding and unity among people, but not commending a sin. So I'm at all about this. I want to hear your take on it. I want to feed off of you, because that's all I can say right now.
Okay, check this out. Now, should I go undercover as a stripper just to find out if they really doing that to get through college?
Now let's get juicy.
You see all right. What
yeah, yeah. Now, okay. Now, yeah, I feel you. Now we can talk about. I wouldn't do it. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. Only because our lifestyle is ministry. So I don't smoke. I mean, I'm not going to tell you not to smoke and then turn around and smoke. I'm not going to become a smoker to learn how to tell the smokers. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm not going to go undercover as a stripper to say, yeah, let me find out if they really doing this to go to college. Come on now. You
right.
have to stand your ground regardless.
Yes.
You say, okay, I'm going to speak against gay and lesbianism, whatever. Okay? So I want to speak against it. I don't need to go undercover to see how they feel. No. I don't need to go undercover as a stripper. I don't need to go undercover as a drug dealer to see how dangerous it is to be a drug dealer. I know. So if I have a drug dealer friend, I can say, hey, man, this life is dangerous. I don't need to go undercover. It's not my job. I'm not a police officer. I'm not a detective. If I'm a detective, it's a part of my job description to go undercover to catch a drug lord, to go undercover to get a person that's killing gays or something like that, that's different. But you did all this for a book. When you can read the research, when you can, you already know.
You can ask somebody.
You know what I mean? You already know the deal. So my thing is this. He said, he went undercover just to see. And I mean, no, I'm not, no. That's ridiculous. I'm not going to
yeah.
death.
You know what's real? Yeah. Because as you were saying the story, I say, bro, gay, because there is a God in me, real talk, that would not allow me to go through certain things. And one of those things is, bro, I can't fake being gay. I can't. You won't catch me holding hands with a man. I had problems holding hands with my brother when we was children.
You know? And the thing is, I can't go undercover as a stripper because I don't have a six-pack. They were like, no, he's a fraud.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You want to go deep about it since you want to play like that. You know, I ain't going to throw the gayness on him, but I'm just saying, you're going to recognize, like, you know what I mean? You know, like, if you had a room full of zebras, and a gazelle walks in. They gonna be like, hey, he's not a zebra.
Yeah.
And that's real talk. So it's like, come on, like, you got a room full of gays, and he walk in, this is like, it's something off about this guy. Like, come on, he using that excuse. He might have been gay, for real, for real. Somewhere in the line. I don't know, though. But that's just, you know, that's just all out the box, all in the flesh. I don't know. But all, what I do know is this. I agree. I feel like your lifestyle is ministry. Because you don't have to go out in the streets and proclaim the gospel yelling, you know, Jesus Christ, scripture, 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 scripture. People are looking at how you live and how you walk. That's why Christianity is not just a Sunday thing or one day event. Christianity is a lifestyle thing. The way you talk, the way you dress, the way you walk, the way you act. That's how people are telling you, telling if you're with Christ or not. So for you to act as if you weren't all this time for a year.
Yeah.
That puts things in question because you were doing gay stuff. You're supposed to be against it from what you're saying. You're in gay events. You're doing. You're promoting. Your lifestyle is now promoting the gay fashion. Mind you, you claim Christianity. And if you're walking this way and you say you know it's wrong and you're telling people it's okay to be gay for this 1 year of experience, because only two people knew, right? Three people knew, the gay boyfriend and all and himself. What's really good? So it's a lot of things in question. You know, at the end of the day, all I can say is if this is what God told him to do, I ain't got nothing to say. I bow down to God. If God told him to do that,
Yeah.
So that's where we at with that. That's my take, you know, honestly.
Man. Oh, man, that's, you know, in the beginning, I can see where he was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The thought, just the thought. I'm not saying when he actually started. Just the thought, she was being like, man, I should go undercover so I can convert these people. Then you think, oh, no, man, I don't need to do that. Come on, man. The experiment was solely for publicity for the book.
And I agree. I'm with you on that because this is like, it didn't. Because, what about 6 months? You went a whole year.
A year.
Not. What about a week or a day? Like, because, you know, if you really want to do it, you could take a poll. I can easily take a poll, go to people that know me real good, and be like, I want you to know that I'm this now. And they'd be like, what? The reaction on their face, see how it goes for a little bit, and. Boom, 95% of my friends said this. They dropped me when I told them I was this and that. You know, then that, you know, that's statistics right there.
That's
as a life, so that means you wake up gay, you sleep gay, you go to a gay job, you do this, like, a gay life. Like, come on, dog. That's too much adapting for my blood.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Now, by him doing that, is that manipulation?
And that's what I don't like because it's a lie. Jesus didn't have to lie. Jesus did not say, I'm a sinner to chill with the sinners. No, he said, I'm the Son of God, and I'm still with the sinners to convert them. So I'm a straight Christian man that's proclaiming the gospel to homosexual men. That's how it should be. That's what it is. Why do you have to? You don't have to lie to get God's word across?
Exactly.
Manipulate a mind? Because that's you know what I mean? What if I put on this persona while we on the air, like, you know, I'm just so holy, I talk like this and da-da-da-da, and I'm so perfect, and this is how you need to be? And I say you fall for it, and you mess around and catch me in the streets. You catch me slipping one day. And it's like, damn, I thought you were a man of God. Now, this is how you act? So now you got two choices. You got, well, shoot, I can get away with this because he did it, or all men of God are frauds. Just like a pastor, you know how you feel when you catch a crooked pastor. You
uh-huh.
either be like, man, you know, I can do what he doing. I can sleep around with all these women because he doing it. Or, man, all these pastors fraud enough to teach myself the word because everybody's fake. And now look what you deal with. Now you got people relying on their own knowledge. People destroy themselves because they lack knowledge. That's what's going to happen. It's a long line. This is what this is all about. The lack of knowledge, I felt like he should have went through some kind of counseling before he did that. He should have talked with an elder, a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, some kind of leader. He should have had some kind of overseer that could have, on the outside, it could have been like, you know what, this is not a good idea. This doesn't even line up with the word of God because none of the prophets came out stunting, faking it.
Here's the deal, though.
Mm-hmm.
What if he did go to somebody and they said, man, I think that's a good idea?
Well, he should have said it in the article. We ain't been asking no what if. We should have said that in the article. But if, you know, if that did happen, then I'm sorry that did happen. Now, if I'm sorry, who is his overseer? Who is the, then you got to answer this. Who is the person that told him to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a chain. It's a long line of events that, at the end of the day, I feel like knowledge was not used. I felt like this was based off emotions, and emotions is what get us killed.
Uh-huh.
It was like, man, you know, because he did it off emotion. You could hear it in the beginning. His friend, lesbian friend, was crying on his shoulder, and he felt sorry for her. Now I want to, you know, figure a way. And like you said, it's a publicity stunt, too. I'm going to come out with a book. I'm going to drop a book. Because I know for a fact, if I was to come out and say something like that, I came out as a Christian artist, and a lot of my friends dropped me. So what you think they're going to do if you come out? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then,
when I stopped going to the club, people started hanging with me.
And then a year later, you got to tell them, man, I was just, it was an experiment. Yeah, right, whatever.
I'm like, bro, you were gay for a year, dog. You're talking about, you know, experiments all week.
Yeah.
If that.
You know what I mean? Wow.
That's too much.
That's insane. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Man, that's crazy. So we got to do it. We have to pay our bills. And what we got to do, man. I don't even know. That was crazy. That was just crazy. But however, we have to pay our bills. And when we come back, we're going to come back with a poetic corner. Now, I found this interesting piece online, an inspirational poem called Now My Eyes Are Open. And man, the person is anonymous, so I don't know who it is. But when I come back, we're going to get into that piece. We're going to get into some poetic lace music right here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
The Covenant Cafe.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoenistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
This is the Bee Poetry Spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Lower three into the universe. Take things out of time and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Lower three, leave. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Lower three until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress. To confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind, go back in time, when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now, it's a dime. Flow it free, do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine lines, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to blow it free. Now, leave me. This is the D Poetry Spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and...
Poetic Lace. Where's my way? Poetic Lace. Poetic Lace. All right.
I was in search of a poem, and it's this one I found. This is not my work. This one, I want to let people know this is not my work. The name of the
you might as well be a poet for a whole year and just come out and say you didn't write none of it. You just want to see what it's like for a poet to get their stuff stolen.
And spit all the anonymous poems. He's a dope poet. No, I'm just doing that research to see, to go to open mic nights and see the environment.
You want to see the environment.
Crazy. All right, now the name of this piece is pretty deep. It's called Now My Eyes Are Open.
Mm.
I passed through at least 1,000 bullets in my life, but only felt one. It was said that my left leg would have to be cut off, but now my eyes are open. Mm. I was always sacrificing my good for the bad instead of sacrificing my bad for good. I walked through life without a mother and never knowing the love of a mother gives, but now my eyes are open. I lost my first child at the age of 17, lost a true angel at the age of 18, and I was sentenced to 24 years at the age of 19, and now I'm in prison. God showed me that He was with me since birth, saved me from death every time it came, blessed me with a mother I never had, and gave me another family. And now I know how to give away the bad to accept the good, because now my eyes are open. I once stood on my reputation and pride, but God has opened my eyes. And now I stand on the word of God, because now my eyes are open. May God bless you and open your eyes. He blessed me, and I still have both legs to stand on.
Mm. Mm.
Wow.
And it's so deep and powerful because, you know, a lot of us from experience can say that when we're going through some of our darkest hours, our darkest moments in time, our eyes really get open and we start seeing things for what they really are. In my process, when I was dealing with homelessness, what kind of shoes and clothes I had was the least of my worries. I was more concerned about eating and shelter.
Uh-huh.
And I could care less about how you saw me because I wanted to live. And, you know, it took something that, you know, it took that time with God to really see that you worried about the wrong things. And while all your friends are gone because of your current predicament, I'm still here. And when you get back on and when you get elevated, I'm still going to be with you. So who do you rather work for? Who would you rather be with? And it's like, that's what's so powerful about, you know, the darkest hours. It's like we shouldn't look at our moments in time where we are without as a time that of without. Because truly when we are broken, we are with. Because when you cling to God so much, it's like a joy that you cannot explain. And your eyes are open and you see what it really is and what really matters. And who you really are. Martin Luther King says a man is, I wish I can word it, I can say it word for word, but I'm quite sure you guys have heard his quote. When Martin Luther King said, a man, you know a man, how true he is, not in his moments of convenience, but of his moments of, you know, the darkest times of his life. That's when the man shows who he really is. He shows how strong he is. Because anybody can laugh and be joyful and be a great person when everything is going good. But who are you
when everything falls apart? Are you still going to stand up? Are you still going to be providing? Are you still going to cling to God and hold on to your faith? Or are you going to fall apart like your environment?
And who's going to be there in those darkest hours?
Exactly.
Now, also, along with that, when you pray for God to, and it has happened to me,
mm-hmm.
when you pray for God to open your eyes, be ready. Because you're going to start seeing some stuff that you have never thought you would believe.
Mm.
Trust me when I say that. You have to be ready to accept what you pray for. You know, the old adage, they say, be careful what you ask for. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
You, when you pray for God to open your eyes, man, you think stuff that hit the fan, but it really didn't really just hit the fan. It's always been there.
Mm.
Now you just have an understanding of how to handle these situations now. Whether it's with friends, whether it was family, and the thing is, what you said is when you open, get your eyes, when God opens your eyes, it's more so to your family than your friends.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The ones that you say, hey, this is my blood. Aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, whatever. Mothers, fathers. You know what I mean? You open your eyes and friends. But however, when God opens your eyes, you start seeing a lot of nonsense that you think had just started to happen when it was just always happening and you was just accepting what was coming with it. You were just dealing with it. You were just frustrated with it. And sometimes you weren't even frustrated with it. You just, whatever. You know, you just really didn't think about it.
Mm.
Until when you say, God, please open up my eyes in this situation. You know what I mean?
That's real. To piggyback what you're saying, too, you know, I encourage when God opens your eyes that you keep them open because I can say it, once my eyes got open, God brought me up and everything like that, and you get back, you know as well, Lamont, in this industry, you get in this industry, you start looking at other stuff, your eyes start to dim a little bit. You start to worry about, okay, this person doing that. Oh, I want this. I need this, da, 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 da. Like, all this stuff starts to pour on you, and your eyes start closing slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have to keep your eyes open.
Definitely. So, I mean, like, I can't stress it enough. Never take it for granted. You know? Because, like, even when you pray for, like, finances, be ready for what comes with the finances. Because, like you said earlier, you can get the finances and you can lose them. This is quickly. You know what I mean? So you can pray for something that you're going to have for a moment, may not have it for long if you don't pray for the wisdom.
Mm, there you are.
You know what I mean? Because there are a lot of people that pray to win a lottery, and they win a lottery, it's going to end up going crazy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? There's countless stories on the news, online. You can read about them. Where these people, you know, we don't know their spiritual life, but these people won these lottery, big lottery winnings, and end up killing themselves, end up going bankrupt, end up going to jail, end up crazy, because there's a lot of stuff that comes with it. This thing, just think about this for a moment. You have $500 in your bank account, if that. You win the lottery, and now you have $20 million.
Hmm.
Now you have $5 million. Now you have $700,000. Now you have $70,000 in your account. That sounds good, but guess what's going to come out the woodwork? People will start calling you. Countless asking you for this, asking you for that. badgering you because they're like, man, you got the money. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
unnecessary headaches that gonna start that occur.
Yeah.
A lot of people start supplying their family.
Yeah.
Look at these athletes, these rap artists, actors, singers. They go broke because they start supplying the people around them.
Right.
All I got is entourage. They're going to roll with me everywhere I go. You pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for your entourage.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You buy 8 or 9 cars that you're going to drive one car at a time.
And you barely drive that car because you're always on tour or you're always away.
You know what I mean? You got mm-hmm. 4 or 5 houses. So people say, you got two houses. People say, man, you got 2 houses. You can loan me a couple thousand. I'm like, no, man, I can't do it. Man, you just selfish. You know what I mean? So I have to be selfish if I say I'm not going to. The reason why I'm telling you that I can't loan you the money is because I know what you're going to do with it. I know that, number one, you're going to blow it on something, especially if you know they on some kind of drug kick. Not just drugs, alcohol, or whatever. Or you know that this person say, hey, I'm going to give it back to you, and you know they're not going to give it back to you. So you say, why am I going, although I have X amount of dollars, why am I going to give you $2,000 that I know that you're not going to give back to me? As a straight law. I might as well donate it. You know? So you say no, and then now you're getting badgered. So you have to be prepared for what you pray for, because when you pray for it and it comes, you got to be able to handle it.
Yes.
Even with status on your job, you say, look, I'm just the mail carrier in this facility, but I want to be in this office right here, making X amount of dollars. And you get that position. Now you're getting a whole bunch of other responsibilities that you didn't think you was going to have. Now you got a whole new set of class of coworkers that now these guys are on another level as opposed to when you was just a mail carrier. You know, because it's a different class of people.
It is.
They think they see things different. The mail carrier is going to be more frugal. And the other people going to be like, man, well, hey, we're going to this restaurant, you know, it's $23 just for a well-done hamburger. You know, you start living at that means. And all of a sudden you buy a nice house. But guess what? You lost your job. Now you can't afford the house that you just bought. Because you're trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Well, everything you're saying is so on point, and it reminds me of the prayer of Jabez, which comes from 1 Chronicles 4:10, and it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him the request, and granted him what he requested. And the thing that's so powerful about this was, you know, you hear different breakdowns on it, but they're saying that Jabez, what he was doing was like, God, you know, you're going to bless me, but I ask that you enlarge my territory. When he's saying enlarge my territory, teach me how to handle it. Give me room in my mind. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding on how to handle this blessing so I don't cause pain upon myself, among others, nor destroy the blessing, period. So, and that's what's so crucial. You know, it's amazing that you said it. And on top of that, I got a homeboy. He plays professional basketball in Europe. So, you know, you got the EuroLeague, you got the NBA. So, he's in the EuroLeague. He's overseas. And so he's up in that, you know, that top branch, that $100,000 branch, that area of his career was, you know, six figures and more, going into six figures and more now. So, he told me straight up, he was like, and he's older than me, but he told me straight up, he said, bro, he said, I understand, you know, everything you're dealing with and everything does that, but you need to understand that when you make that kind of money, it's not the fact that you change,
It's the fact that you have to change because the people around you change. And that was so important what you said, because now you got people around you that's spending X amount of dollars. So, of course, it starts rubbing off on you. Then, of course, you got the people in your family who used to see you as just Lamont. Now you're like the Lamont. So since you're the Lamont, let me get this, let me get that. So, of course, you start discerning, and you start, I can't do this and that. Now, all of a sudden, you done got bougie. You done got this, you did this and that. But truth be told, you had to change or they would run you broke. Then on top of that, you got the people around you who can run you broke. It's like your mindset has to adjust, because you can't be – like you said, you start doing things like everybody that's around you who's been doing it for years. Next you know, you lose that position, that job, or that money. You lose your house, you lose your family, you lose a lot of stuff. So, you know, everything results back to how we started the show in the first place. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in order to handle anything, we have to have a fear in the Lord, that reverence to the Lord, because the Bible, God's word himself, shows us how to handle things like this. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. So if you're seeking God, you're not worried about money. You're not worried about what when you get it and why you have it. It's going to God is basically saying, you get caught up in your money and how to get it, because the love of money is the root of all evil. So you begin to destroy yourself. It's like it's so much. I mean, because I can jump around from scripture to scripture about how thick and important it is to seek God's wisdom, seek God's knowledge and his word, because it's going to teach you how to live on earth and how to handle these blessings and how to not get caught up and how what happened, like Solomon, because basically what everything you're saying is vanity. And Solomon said that Solomon had 1,000 women. Solomon had, he was the richest and the wisest man. He had all the land. Solomon was strapped up. And Solomon even said at the end of the day, all this is nothing. It's all vanity. It's empty. He said, I did everything, and nothing pleased me. I had everything. He said, man, straight up, this is what you need to do. All I know is I come to a conclusion that you need to just seek God, fear God, follow his commandments, do as God says, live. Live for God, straight up, because everything else will kill you. You get caught up trying to keep up with the Joneses, like you said. You get caught up with that, it'll kill you. You get caught up getting bitter because everybody like you when you hide. Then when you cold, they don't mess with you. You get bitter, that'll kill you. Suicide, depression, vanity.
Now, just look at what happened in Detroit. I'm going to tell you what happened in Detroit. In Detroit, you had a lot of factories. Okay? So, when the housing market crash, this is what happened. You have factory workers that's making $23, $25, $30 an hour. Okay. You get overtime. You get holiday pay triple time. You live in a good life. You buy that house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened is, when those jobs start closing, guess what happens? That lifestyle that you were living, now you're able to afford a $3,000 house payment because you was making $20 an hour, $23
mm-hmm.
an hour, $30
yeah.
an hour. Get paid every week. You do the math.
Mm.
Every week you got this fat check. You know what I mean? Not to say that, let me clear this up. Not to say that nobody would do this, but you just like, I have this job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you start living at that rate. You're like, I'm getting $2,000 to $3,000 a week, every week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can afford this house. Well, you're not thinking about, hey, what is this plant going to close? No one's thinking that.
Correct. That's true.
Who's your, if there's a person that thinks that, you got to show me, because I need him to help me with my finances.
Mm.
Because if you think, like, I got this job now, what if they shut down? Huh? You're not thinking that. You're like, man, I got this fat job. Now I got this nice crib. Now what happens? These places start closing. Shutting down. Laying off. Now you go from $30 an hour to making $10, $11 an hour.
Mm.
If that.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to find a job.
True.
There's no way you can afford that $3,000 house. I mean, house payment. See, everybody start losing their houses. You know? So it's just like you have to be mindful of what you're getting yourself into. And, of course, you have to, we all have to get our mind to prepare ourselves for that moment. You have to think, like, okay, what if this job don't exist for you? Because you're not naturally going to think that. You see the overtime coming. It's like, if you get an overtime, you're like, man, this job not going to shut down no time soon.
Yeah.
It's not about working overtime. So we have to prepare ourselves accordingly.
Yeah, that's true.
And just as we prepare ourselves accordingly financially, we have to prepare ourselves accordingly spiritually.
Right.
You can't take none of this stuff with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I stand on that. I mean, you just have to, I mean, and like with this particular poem, I mean, he had a lot going on. The person had a lot going on, but at the end, look, God still had me standing on my own 2 feet.
Mm.
You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is get into Poetic Lace, Broken Wings, and after that, we're going to be closing out our show for the day. We definitely appreciate you guys tuning in to this episode of The Covenant Cafe. So we're going to go ahead and get into Broken Wings, and we'll be right back after Poetic Lace, Broken Wings.
Yes, sir.
It's so hard to fly when your wings are broken. I guess it's hard to see God when you're so blind. You still gotta look for that light though. Tell him, Nova.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Lord, so that I may fly away. I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Lord, so that I may fly away.
Boy, I'm trapped in enigma. I'm at the kind of jail asking why you pulled the trigger. It must have been confusion from the blunts and the liquor. Seeing you in here only makes me get sicker. I'm mad, I'm pissed, I'm something like a bladder. Most my dogs slip when I started up the ladder. We were close friends, but you never helped my struggle. It was mostly criticizing and pointing out my troubles. Don't get it wrong, the love was there, but in my heart I couldn't really say you cared. That's like the women came around trying to get paid, but in the end every single one felt played. No PS3 and Nintendo, we are Xbox. That's so ironic cause the game don't stop. I can remember every girl that I slept with, but I wish I could forget that we did.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. So that I may fly away.
Yes, the show has to go on. My brother's been praying that he just holds on. My mom's been praying that my brother comes home. The streets ain't really what you wanna call home. It's like times get hard, the harder we grow. We growing hard, so what else do we know? It's a hard night life and I had to live it twice. So many mistakes, but God still treats me nice. I'm wondering and pondering, thinking and blinking. Keep a sober mind, stay far from drinking. I gotta deal with crabs in the pipe. They tryna pull me down cause the water is hot. The water is scorching, the water is scorching. These crabs are deceitful cause they know it's approaching. Step around the corner, please pull me out of terror. I'm only 23 but I know the barbera.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Lord, so that I may fly away.
for the right direction. I'm searching for the road to salvation, Lord, so that I may find your way.
Waking up in the morning, I got a sad surprise. I lost my closest homie to a game of homicide. We in the city where you see the skinny dudes die. It's important that we pray just to keep by. I'm at a funeral, his mom is crying on my shoulder. They had my blood flowing slower, now my heart's colder. So I invested in some heat in case I have to teach. Then I heard, grab your Bible, keep that in your reach. Lord, pardon my mistakes, I had to play my hand. No spades, hearts of diamonds, such a tragic hand. So I went to the clubs looking for some love. Never realized all the wildest God that I trust. God is good, man, I promise you can make it through. Bow down, confess Christ is what you have to do. It's nothing to it, speak your heart, shouldn't feel shook. If you don't know what to say, just repeat the hook.
I'm looking for the right direction. I'm searching for the road of salvation. Lord, so that I may find your
wow.
That song blesses me every time I hear it.
I love the song.
Thank you. Glory to God.
Definitely good job on that song. Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, we're winding down. So what would be the words of wisdom, I should say, for this week?
Words of wisdom, something that my pastor Irvin Jones was there, he touched on again. And it's, you know how you read a scripture? You think nothing of it, you just read it, cool. But this is something that if we pay attention to, it's going to take us a long way. It comes from Psalms 1:1, and it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So, you know, in short, if you want to be blessed, blessed is the man. Blessed is that person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Like, how are you going to let somebody who does not believe in God nor respect God give you advice on how to raise your kids or how to take care of your wife or how to get this and how to do that, how to live? How are you going to receive, how are you going to take that counsel and live by it from somebody who don't even respect your God? Nor, it says, blessed is the man who does not stand in the path of the sinner. I'm talking about every time we turn around, you chilling with sinners. Like, and when we say sinners, I ain't even talking like I'm holier than thou. I'm talking about, because you got saints, you got sinners. Now, mind you, saints are going to make mistakes because all fall short of the glory of God. But saints make mistakes. But sinners, they do it and they keep doing it and they do it knowing they're doing it. Like, if I was like, bro, you need to start having sex. All right. Well, I hear you, but I can't because this is what I want to do. That's a sin. Well, you know, God working on my heart. Bro, you're a sinner. You have just put yourself in sinner territory because you know the word. You have heard the word. You have received the word, yet and still you still want to do you. Now, you will not be blessed if you continue to chill with people that has this kind of mindset. Or somebody who says, all right, bro, this is what the Bible say, but, you know, this is how I feel. What? You have no kind of authority to argue against what the word of God says. The last thing, but know who sits with the scornful. Like, how can you just continue to just associate and do business? Not necessarily like do business, like, but I mean, like, your life is a part of the sinners, the people who just don't care. How can you continue to associate and be friends with people who you know do not care about other people's lives nor anything that God has told you, nor even care about your life, because as soon as you lose your money and lose whatever it has, and then they end up leaving you. How could you continue to do that? So, in short, the whole thing comes around. If you want to be blessed, you want to remain blessed, or you want to go towards blessing, this is what you got to do, which is not receive people, receive counsel, receive information, receive guidance or leadership from those who do not even respect God, our God, the ungodly.
Lord, can you shouldn't be chilling with sinners, like ministering to sinners, cool. Helping sinners, this and that, you know, as a walk in Christ kind of light thing you're doing, cool. But to be chilling with sinners and doing what they're doing, you're hindering yourself from being blessed.
So you mean, tell me I can't go undercover?
Take it how you want it. Take it how you want it. I would, like I said, I want to be blessed, and I wouldn't go undercover, especially for a year, but you know.
What we're referring to is
the story that a gentleman went undercover for a year to say that he wanted to convert gays and lesbians. By the end of the year, he came back out and said he's straight, to only to say, hey, he's going to do a book.
This is my issue, and I ain't going to say much after that, because it just hit me. This is my issue about it. In that year, he's faking to be gay, right? Within that year, he's doing gay things. Now, gay people have hit on him. Now, let's keep it real. No, I'm not, you're a married man. I'm not gonna even use you. I'm gonna use somebody else because I don't want no trouble starting. I know some. All right, I got a friend.
I can handle this because I'm
okay.
I'm gonna give you all the answers.
All right, you're a married man, right? You're a married man. You love your wife and everything. Oh, that's cool, right? You're faithful to that. This is your role. Because now this gay dude had a boyfriend. That was his excuse. Now, when a woman, a beautiful woman, tells you that you're attractive, does that not make you feel good in some kind of way?
Of course.
Yeah. Now, in some cases, now I ain't saying you because I don't know, but in some cases you have some men who have their wife may not be giving them that kind of attention, and because some lady told them that they look nice, blah, 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 they might wink back. Now, they don't go no further than that. They might even give a little gesture back, something like not a touch or nothing, but like a wink back, a thank you, you look good too. Sweet stuff. Thank you, you look nice as well kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
Now, he has a boyfriend. Now, mind you, his excuse for not dating men, telling other men that I can't do nothing with you because I got a boyfriend. So, like this same instant can happen. Hey, you look good. Now, he's gay. Now, he has to act gay. Oh, thank you. You look good, too. I like your bulge. Gay stuff. He's going to do gay stuff back. Is he not right now condoning gay, being gay? Therefore, this undercover act is not, I feel it's contrary. It's contrary to what he's trying to do. How are you trying to convert people to be saved within that year? You have turned some people gayer. You have got some people erotically turned on now. You have brought upon yourself a random erection.
You know what? And the thing is, with that story, just like you said, I mean, he put himself in a predicament for a year, which caused other guys that's gay to make compliments to him.
Right.
I mean, like, it's crazy because now you emotionally messed up someone else.
Exactly.
Now, how is that person going to react as they find out? You know, because what are those people that he came across were undercover? Oh, man,
right.
we got to wrap this up. But you know how they say undercover lovers and undercover brothers because they're gay and they don't want to be known? So now they're exposed that. You know what I'm saying? Those individuals are exposed because you went undercover. Wow. We had to address this again. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Cafe. We have about a minute left. Exactly, a minute left. So we definitely appreciate y'all tuning in. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson.
And Poetic Lace.
On the Covenant Cafe, and we're going to be back with the story. I have to remember to bring this back because we got to weigh in heavy on this one. Here on the Covenant Cafe, here's our outro. We haven't heard it in a while, but here it is.
aware. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time to tear. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show. Feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the host. From the east to the west, we rock at coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We reppin' Jesus Christ, yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live, so I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for tears, so I'm steady toasting. What's up, D. Slade? That's the CEO. He's stepping on the glass. I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by. Hope to see you next week.